that shows that God had some dealings with it, with me.
Now, there was a question that came out about the scissors. Since they're outside here, do they rust? Do you replace them? It almost sounds like a trap.
And I went in his house, and there was the prettiest little girl you ever laid your eyes on. And I looked at her and looked at her, and I told her daddy, I said, I'm going to marry her. You tell it's getting a little dizzy. Eyesight's not real good. But,
right.
You know,
as long as you got good footwork, right?
Yeah.
It's just a dance. You just got to dance around your tomatoes.
What does it mean to be good? Welcome to Charting Life. We've got a really special episode here today. I am sitting here with the one and only Uncle Doug. Is that the name that's landing here?
Doug Wilson.
Doug Wilson, yep. TikTok fame. There was a few weeks ago, there was a really interesting video. Sitting across over here is Derek with Grain Free Homestead. Took a really cool video of you and your incredible tomato setup, and it just kind of blew up on the internet, on TikTok, and you got over 1 million views pretty quickly. Lots of people are loving your tomatoes, and just they think that you're probably a really wise person, a good person, somebody they want to learn a lot from. And so figured we'd sit down and chat with you a little bit. Want to say anything about yourself? Give us a little bit of an idea of who you are and where you're from.
Well, I'm from Pike County.
Where was that?
Coal mines.
Coal mines, yep. Eastern Kentucky?
Yeah, well, I'm out of a family of 11 kids, and one man working.
One man working, taking care of 11 kids. I bet that was he a coal miner?
Coal miner.
Coal miner, yep. I got coal mining family.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in Kentucky do, but yeah. So that was 11 kids. Were you in the middle? Were you the oldest, youngest?
I'm right in the middle.
Okay, how many brothers and sisters?
7 boys and 4 girls.
And I think right before we started recording, you were saying you're about to celebrate your 89th birthday, right? 89th birthday. All
yeah,
right.
I thought he was getting ready to turn 90.
Yeah, you thought he was going to turn 90?
Yeah, I thought he was getting ready to. I was a year off.
Well, you know, a lot of people were commenting that you look so young for your age. And so, you know, 90 is only a year away.
Right,
so
yeah.
We'll onward to triple digits, right? Well, anyways, we won't rush that.
Yeah.
We won't rush that. So you grew up Eastern Kentucky. Of course, we're nowhere near Eastern Kentucky today. How did you end up getting to Louisville? I know you've moved around a little bit.
Well, there's 7 boys, and my mother didn't want us to work in coal mines.
Right.
And just as soon as we got out of high school, she shipped us out.
Did you guys go all together, or did you separate?
We separated.
Okay.
Some stayed in school, mm-hmm. younger ones. And then we come down here and started working. I worked at an International Harvester.
Oh, where was that?
International Harvester.
That was another thing people were curious. They loved your setup and how clean it was and how everything was designed and just pretty much perfect. People were wondering what you did for a living.
Well, what I'd mostly done, I was a contractor in Florida.
Okay, where out in Florida?
Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, I lived in the Tampa area for a little while. It was really hot, so I'm glad I moved back to Louisville. But
I stayed down there 20 years.
20 years. Now, you said, when did you get the tomatoes again?
When I was 75.
When you were 75 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
75 years ago, I got it, and I kept it in the family for forever.
Forever, yeah.
Yeah.
So you
just going to say that forever.
With the heirloom tomatoes, you saved the seeds from the first tomatoes that you received, and you plant those seeds again over and over.
Yeah, and a lot of the people, old-timers, would call them like seed protectors. Like they keep that seed for that specific plant.
Yeah.
And that's all they grow so that it doesn't get cross-pollinated. That's all they do is just protect that seed.
That was mine. That's the way I done it.
Yeah, well, it seems like you did a really good job. You were saying that yours has a very low acidic level.
Acid-free. And older people that's got a sickness,
mm-hmm.
Eating a red tomato is real, real poison. So this tomato, you eat all you want, and no acid in it. So I'm going to start raising for the nurseries.
I was trying to do the math here. How many tomato plants do you have going?
100.
100 tomato plants. And you, how many do you get in a season per plant, roughly?
Probably 15.
Okay. So that is easily 1,500 tomatoes per year. And you, these are, you said you got them for 75 years you've been running these?
Yeah.
So it's hard to know exactly, but
yeah, that's
north of 100,000 tomatoes that you've grown throughout your life.
I probably have.
Yep. And I think it was interesting, people were asking about your seeds. People, they love the legacy, they love the heirloom that they've lasted so long, and people from Canada, Minnesota, New England, all over,
yep,
they were definitely wanting your seeds for your tomatoes to keep that legacy going. I know you have some family who's growing that as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have many people in your family, or you got a couple who's keeping the heirlooms going?
I think in my family right now, I think I'm the only one growing them, because they're all dead but three.
I think one of your nephews said he had
Steve,
some tomatoes. Yeah, he was growing some of them. That he was keeping some of them for you, he was growing.
Robert.
Oh, Robert?
Robert.
Yeah.
Okay. I know on the TikTok, someone was saying, I never dreamed that my Uncle Doug would be a TikTok star. And in the comments under that, people were saying, no, he's our uncle now. He's everyone's uncle. Everyone, you know, was definitely loving you and what you were doing. Some were very impressed and almost a little nervous with you walking on the ledge there with your foot. But they said your footwork was pretty great as well.
Well, it you tell it's getting a little dizzy. Eyesight's not real good, but,
right?
You know,
as long as you got good footwork, right?
Yeah.
It's just a dance. You just got to dance around your tomatoes.
Dancing around the tomatoes. Well, I thought I would read some of these comments for you and just kind of get your thoughts, your reactions. One question was about the paint that you use on your rebar. Was it just basic paint, or did you do anything special?
Just white paint.
Just white paint. And that helps to lower the temperature so it's not so hot, right?
Right.
Right. And so that's, some people were thinking you use this really complex, very special paint, but it's just basic white paint.
Yeah, as long as it's white, reflect heat.
Yep, and I was trying to actually feel it a little bit ago, and it did
seem like it. Is it spray paint, or did you brush paint it on there?
I rolled it.
You just rolled it on there?
I laid them out on them. I ain't rolled them all.
Do you have to do that one time?
Just one time, that's
it. I'll probably do it this year. I haven't done it in 5 years.
It's lasted pretty good then, hasn't it?
Was the paint idea, was that something you just recently did a few years ago, or have you been doing that for quite a while?
Well, when I started using rebar.
Yeah, because if you don't paint it, it burns the
It burns your tomato
right.
paint.
Yeah, we so don't. It, yeah.
As soon as he started using the rebar, he had to paint them.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people were commenting on how over the years you must have just continued to learn and find something new and make it better and better. You've improved your system. Some people say they love how clean and pristine the patio is, that we need more of Doug.
Yeah.
A lot of people that was watching your video reminded them of their grandparents and their parents, and that was brought back good memories for them. And lots of comments saying that the younger people need to listen to the older generations and gain some wisdom and perspective. Does that seem about right for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think at one point another person says that you seem the kind of person that when you start talking, people should start writing down what you have to say. What would you think about a book of Doug sayings? Right. And then a lot of people were talking about your scissors and how lots of people said they could not keep track of one pair of scissors that they have in their house. I think one of my favorite questions was, I bet your wife is always looking for her kitchen scissors.
No, she got her own.
She's got her own, and you got your 80 there.
She had her own when she's alive.
Now, there was a question that came out about the scissors. Since they're outside here, do they rust? Do you replace them?
Those they never rusted. I've had them up for about 5 years. They ain't rusted.
I take them down in the winter. In the winter, you take them down?
Yeah.
That's smart. Another comment said that you're the real MVP, most valuable player. What an example for us all. Hope I can get around if I live. They hope they can get around like you are if they live to 90 years old and much less plant a garden. Another person said, you're a national treasure. So people are loving what they're seeing and the kind of person that you seem to be. What does it mean to have a good life and to be a good person?
What's it mean?
Yeah.
It means everything.
It means everything?
Yeah, when I was in Florida, I was a contractor. A roofing contractor.
Roofing, okay.
Painting contractor and well digger. And if they didn't have the money, they don't have to get charged.
You would help people out as they needed to?
Several hundred.
Oh, wow. Wow. I'm sure they were very grateful, weren't they?
Yes, they was. And I had a crew of men that that'd like to do it, too.
Good. So it was more than you. It was other people who were joining in with this.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I imagine, I would hope the people who would receive that blessing and was with gratitude and was able to continue to help other people as they get opportunities.
I hope they do. They should. I done good. Well, all my family was Christians and almost at birth.
Okay.
We when church time come, we go to church.
Yeah.
My mother maybe was had us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we done it on. We didn't have no money or nothing like that, you know, the offering or anything. And so to help the people in church helped us some. And we had a lot of good people to live with.
Good. And so it definitely helps to have a good community and good church family.
Real good.
Yeah, I think today a personal community seems so small and there's a whole world that everyone's connected to, but that does seem to be a good, not a perfect fix for everything, but it does seem nice to be able to have your family, your community, your church family to help you grow as a person. It seems like smaller communities are a better thing to focus on.
Right, yeah. And so my mother was always a Christian, and when I was little, I had polio, mumps, measles, chicken pox, every kind of disease.
Wow.
Come through the mountains, I'd get it.
Man.
So I had polio. And my leg, I had cast on both legs for 2 years.
Wow.
So I didn't go to school till I was 8 years old.
Okay, so you started school when you were eight.
Yeah, me and Peggy started together, my sister. And so this preacher come through the mountains and was evangelizing.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother asked him to pray for me. Believe this or not, I can climb a 30-foot ladder right now.
I'd be a little scared getting past 10 or 12 feet.
Yeah, I don't like climbing a 30-foot ladder.
Wouldn't bother me one bit.
Didn't you used to be a contractor for roofing, too?
Yeah, I was a roofing contractor.
Yeah, so you're a little more comfortable than...
For 20 years.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of getting up real high on heights. I don't care for it.
Didn't bother me a bit, so that shows that God had some dealings with me.
Right. Yeah, that would say
He had something for me to do,
and I
followed him right on in.
Yeah, I was going to say, looking forward many decades later, you think you probably have done what God wants you to do in life? The Apostle Paul was saying that, you know, he stayed the course, he fought for the fight, you know. And
fought the good fight.
Fought the good fight. Yeah, thanks for helping me. I was losing the words there. But yeah, that's something I try to think about whenever I'm getting ready to try to make a decision in life or anything of that nature, is try to think many decades into the future and think, is this something I would be a decision I'd be proud of making? I guess looking back in life at this point, feel like you've done good, lived a good life?
Well, when we were younger, we had to make a dollar however we could, you know what I mean?
Right.
So my brother, he liked to gamble. And he liked to sell moonshine.
Okay, gamble and moonshine for your brother.
Yeah. So I delivered love his stuff. So I had this policeman wanted me to bring him some moonshine up to the house.
Okay. Almost sounds like a trap.
And I went in his house, and there was the prettiest little girl you ever laid your eyes on. And I looked at her and looked at her, and I told her daddy, I said, I'm going to marry her.
You were bootlegging moonshine at what age?
9, 10, whatever time of.
Wow.
It didn't make no difference. I didn't have a driver's license until I was about 23 years old and drove all night. What would it do, put me in jail?
Well, that's thinking through, right?
So Patty was the little girl out of us all, my wife. So when she got 18, she graduated from high school. I was working at General Electric. So I was 30 years old. I dated her a long time before we were married. And I said, you ought to leave us alone. If you don't leave us alone, I'm going to take her out to Louisville and marry her down there.
Okay.
And she said, well, I'll leave you alone.
So it worked.
Yeah. And so I married her 65 years ago.
65 years. That's impressive. And that is a...
Happily
yeah,
married.
That's the impressive part, is to be happily married.
Yeah, we really enjoyed it. Had no kids. She never had to work a day in her life. I wouldn't let her get a job. She didn't need to work. If I couldn't make enough for both of us, mm-hmm. I could always make money somehow.
Right.
Always.
Probably not bootlegging moonshine when you're
older. No, no. That's just when I was home.
Right.
You know.
Home, yeah. But that was good. That's really good that you provided that for her, and happily married for 65 years. And that's I know one question that I know people are going to want to ask is there any tips that you have for continuing to stay in love and happy for so many years?
No, we made some deals and plans and promises. That we would never mention divorce in our household.
Yep.
And we never did. No. Never missed it one time.
Good. I know that's what my parents said, and that's what me and my wife decided to do as well. Just divorce is never an option. It's not on the table. We don't talk about it. And it forces you to find a path through. If you have any, struggles, or if you're any contentions, you find a way to get over it quickly and get back to.
I was good to her. I gave her anything she wanted. I didn't sign a check for 65 years.
You didn't sign a check for 65 years.
She done all the. She handled all the money.
She handled all the money. Okay, so you were out there working, making sure everything was taken care of, and she made sure that the right people got paid, right?
Right.
I was trying to look through some of these questions that people were asking. One person asked about weeds. They didn't see any weeds in your garden. How do you keep it so weed free?
I don't really know.
You don't really know.
Well, I just wash them. If I see one, I pull it up.
Okay, and you're out here pretty much every day, right?
Every day.
Well, that probably.
I've heard a lot of people talk that if you get a weed when it's little, you won't have to worry about it when it gets big. So. It's a whole lot easier to take out a small weed than it is a big weed.
See them right there? There's three or four right there coming up now. And these people, you used to live next door to me here, mm-hmm. they would throw seeds out the lawnmower over through the fence.
Oh, right. It would, yeah, shoot over.
And I'd get a lot of seeds from them, so we stopped that.
You stopped that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's consistency, whether it's with your tomatoes and weeds or being consistent with your wife or whatever it is, it seems like staying on top of something every day is really just the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I like to keep things clean and do things right. If you don't do a job right, you got to do it again.
That's true.
See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's harder to do it second time than it is the first time.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct.
You have to tear it down to put it back.
Right. And then you've done the job two times already, too. So it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense to get it done the first time.
So I had a good crew of men that done my work for me. And I paid them good money, too.
With the roofing and construction?
Yeah.
Yep.
I paid them $100 a day. That was in... I was 30 years old when I started it. That's when everybody else was making $35 a day.
Right, okay, so that was a really good deal.
I paid mine $100 a day.
You paid them well, treated them well.
Very good.
Showed them the right way to go. Yeah, I know there's a...
Paid their tab.
That's some great advice about doing something right the first time because... You know, people get so distracted, they're trying to do too much.
Well, you're double doing it.
Right. Well, see, like, one of my problems that I'm learning from you is that I got too many things going on.
Yeah. Well,
and I need to focus on, like, you focus on one type of tomato. And that's all you're getting that, you got that perfected. Where I'm growing 45 different things.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. It's a battle I'm fighting.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're right.
Well, I definitely have a few more questions I want to ask, but do you have any life advice that you'd want to say if someone wants to, is there any life advice at all that you've learned over the years that you'd want to impart some wisdom?
That's what I just now told you one.
Right.
Do it right the first time, you don't have to do it twice.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Good enough. This is fantastic. I think I maybe have a couple more questions that I like to ask everybody that I talk to in an interview. What does it mean to be good?
Just treat everybody nice and be fair with everybody. They'll be fair back with you.
I can imagine your answer to the question, but I'll ask it anyways. Sometimes I like to give like a visual. If someone's going to go explore an island, what kind of plant, and you can only take one plant or crop with you, would you take your tomatoes or something else?
I'll take my tomatoes.
Take your tomatoes, yeah.
Of course.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
My mother... Mm-hmm. She could raise anything. I don't care what it is, she could raise it. She raised banana stock down there. You couldn't even carry the bananas.
Really?
With the stock.
In eastern Kentucky?
No, Florida. She come down there and stay with me.
Okay. That was really impressive if it was Kentucky. I didn't know how that would work. Still, Florida, that's impressive.
She's taught me how to do this stuff. And I listened to her. See, I was always her favorite. She carried me till I was 9 years old. I couldn't walk.
How old did she live?
Huh?
How old did she live to be?
About 78.
78?
Yeah.
Do you guys got any interesting questions to ask?
I'm thinking. I got all kinds of questions. Yep. I had a million of them, and now
right.
I'm trying to dig in there and get them all out.
You pretty much always have a smile on your face. You always seem to be enjoying yourself.
I do.
Having a good time.
Yes, I do.
Yep. I generally think it's a good idea to laugh when you can, smile, have a good time. Life is stressful, but how do you deal with stress? If you got a really stressful situation, how do you work through that?
You mean like losing a wife, something like that?
What was that?
Like I'm losing a wife or something like that?
Any situation you could think of that would be really stressful?
Well, my mother, when I lost her,
mm-hmm.
that was stressful.
Yeah.
I died same time she did, but I mm-hmm. come back alive. And lost my wife, Patty, that was stressful.
Mm-hmm.
We always got along good. I planned everything for her that I would die first. And I had her pretty well figured out that she would never have to touch nothing in her life.
Right.
Her life. So, be good to your wife.
Well, I think that was probably some really good parting wisdom. We'll probably wrap it up here. But Doug, it has been fantastic talking with you. Hearing some of the funny stories and the serious stuff as well. And, of course, getting a good look at your tomatoes. With that, I think we'll cut it off here. Do you want to say bye to everyone?
Goodbye, everyone. Love you.